This first rock, God is love. Why do you suppose we started our trail with God is love? I mean, that's the bottom line, right? And the Bible says in 1 John 4:8, God is love. It's not something we define. It's not something we get from somewhere else. God is the definition of love. And he desires for all his creatures to live in love. And his love and thoughts about humanity are seen, it says on the rock, in nature and within Scripture. And then it gives two texts, Psalm 19 and Psalm 139. So look at Psalm 19 for a moment. Why did we put Psalm 19 there? Let's look at it. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. A very famous psalm. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork, the work of his hands. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom going out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there's nothing hidden from its heat. So in these first six verses, we have a recounting of the physical activity of God in creation. Handiwork. His fingerprints are all over it. And he is involved in creating not only the solar system and the atmosphere, but tangibly the things on earth. And this is the whole point that's made. Now, Francis Collins, who's the head of the National Institutes of Health, I think it is, he was an atheist turned Christian as a result of looking at DNA coding. And as he looked at it, he said, man, this has got to be this, there's no way this could just have happened. This is so fine-tuned, you might say, is the word they talk about it. Fine-tuned. It is so incredible that there has to be some kind of designer. And then he looked at the rest of the psalm. Look at the rest of the psalm. So he first of all says, this physicality is something I've seen with the DNA. Now look at what the rest of it says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping there is great reward. And then, you know, it asks, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So Francis Collins looks at that first part and he goes, wait, there's a physical activity of God, his handiwork. I see that in the DNA. Then moving on, he goes, there is also God's activity in humanity and how he wanted to insert himself and his knowledge into the human system and mind. And he does that by writing his law on our hearts and minds. That's the fingerprints of God that he wants to put in everyone's heart and mind. And so, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. But not only that, it says his love and his thoughts about humanity are seen in nature and within Scripture. We also put not just Psalm 19, but Psalm 139. And let's look there just briefly at Psalm 139. Oh, by the way, you could sing part of Psalm 19. You know, how many know the song for Psalm 19? So, if I was out on the trail with somebody, I might sing them the song. You know me. I might call my wife to sing the song with me or something. And Not only that, Psalm 139, the reason we start the trail with God's love is because people sometimes are not convinced of God's love. And when they look into nature, they see His handiwork, they see His loving expressions, but Psalm 139 is like the ultimate psalm that shows His love. Look at verse 13 through 16 first. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. So the one, the handiwork who created the heavens is now saying, wait a minute, He created you. And just as He formed the foundations of the earth, the granites, which we're going to talk about in the next 2 hours here in the colloquium, just as He formed those, He formed you. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So He loves you enough to have formed you. Secondly, He knows you, all about you, verse 1 through 6. Oh Lord, you have searched me, you know me, you know my sitting down, you know my rising up. You understand my thought afar off, you comprehend my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways, and there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, oh Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is high, I can't attain it. So not only did He fully form us, verse 13 through 16. He fully knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. Next, He fully follows us, verse 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit, and where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. In other words, the grave, Sheol. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. I could talk forever about that. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. He follows this everywhere. He's like the divine stalker, but in a good way. He follows you not just on Facebook and Instagram. He follows you everywhere, not just in the day, but also in the night. He knows everything about you. He fully forms you, He fully knows you, and He fully follows you. And it's out of, well, let's see what happens. Now, how many, if someone fully forms you, fully knows you, and follows you all over the place, how many think they would reject you? Because they know everything you've been doing. Have you ever thought about that? If these people only knew who I was, they really wouldn't like me. If they only knew what I was doing, they wouldn't love me. A lot of people think that. A lot of people think that. I meet people all the time. And this is a psalm I give them to read, because even though you may have done all kinds of things wrong, God still loves you and He's still seeking for you and searching for you. And that's what we see here in verse 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they'd be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you. Think about that for a minute. He formed you. He fully knows you. He fully follows you. And with all that information, He still has precious thoughts about you. You might not have as precious thoughts about yourself as He does. Isn't that incredible? And then notice what it says. Then when I awake, I'm still with you. I mean, He's not trying to get away from you. Have you ever had someone try to get away from you? Like, thought they might abandon you? And God's not like that. At the end of the day, it's not going to be that God abandoned you. It's going to be that you abandoned God if that happens. And that's why it's so powerful. It's so powerful, this psalm, God's love. And that's why we have it on the stone. He's not out to get you. He's out to keep you. And that's why verse 19 through 22 says, you know, I hate people that hate you. I want you to slay the wicked. In other words, you see people defending God here in verse 19 through 22. Because nobody ever loved like God. And when you find someone that loves like that, you defend him. You don't try and get away from him. And then you say, like it says, verse 23, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties or my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way. And lead me in the way everlasting. Because you know of his love. And you say, wait a minute. It's unquestioned. You're my creator. You're my redeemer. Lead me wherever you want to lead me. So can you see why we put Psalm 19 and Psalm 139 on the first stone? Because God loves us. And he wants to lead us. So, according to the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth. And we can even now see him speaking to us when we contemplate and meditate on his creation on this Sabbath trail. And Psalm 139 indicates that he fully formed us. He fully knows us. He fully follows us. And yet he still fully loves us. And so we respond in saying, why don't you fully lead me in my life? When true love is seen and experienced, those receiving it desire to respond in love. If you love me, keep my commandments. They desire to keep God's commands because they realize that he has formed and is keeping them. So these 36 granite stones on the trail remind us that God is love. And perhaps one of the biggest things that shows us he's love is that he wrote about his love on a granite stone. Well, actually, it was a sapphire stone. And he wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. And they highlight his love for man. In them, he's seen as their creator. That is in the Ten Commandments. And he's also seen as their redeemer or deliverer and their sustainer. And that's why we celebrate the Sabbath day, because we're entering into remembrance of his love, that he totally gave everything to save us and to create us and to sustain us. Now, on the stone, it also has this idea of Jeremiah 31 and Hebrews 8. And this is the largest statement made from the Old Testament to the New Testament by God. He not only says, look, I'm going to write these things to show you, remind you that I brought you out of enslavement, being in slavery, and I want to bring you out of every bondage, and I created you. He says, look, I want you to remember this love I have for you. That actually goes to the next level by saying, you don't have to come to this Sabbath trail to have my love with you. I want to do something. Just as there's etched in granite along this whole trail concepts about this God of love, he wants to etch that on your heart. And it says in Jeremiah 31, verse 29 through 34, listen to these statements. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will forgive their iniquity. I will no longer remember their iniquity and sin. You think about that for a minute. Your salvation is really not dependent on anything you do. It's dependent on everything you allow him to do. How many want to allow him to do what he says he wants to do? These I will statements are not human statements. We always have these statements like, well, I will do it, I will. These things always usually end in abject failure. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Yeah, right. The next 40 years, so that didn't work out so well. Even for Moses himself and Aaron. At the end of the day, it's what God does in us and through us, and He gets all the credit. So this trail is not some kind of legalistic journey towards a self-made meritorious Sabbath keeping. It's a journey in saying, look at what God says He will do out of His great love for us. Isn't God's love amazing? He asks us to keep His commands and then says, oh, by the way, if you let me, I'll keep my commands in you. His biddings are His enablings. So remember this as you go towards the next stone on the trail. God desires that His love be written not only in stone, but in your heart and in your mind. And why not ask Him to do it as you walk along the trail today? So what do you think? That's my little Bible study on stone number one. How many of you want to come up with your own study? But I think you should have a study for each one. And I'm going to have them put this as a little clip. And we'll put that as one of the studies there. But I would like to see for each one of these stones, each one of you develop your own tour based on it. You know, with our technology now, we could have your own take on each stone. And what if you say, hey, look, I want to not only give people a tour when they come here, but I'm going to put my little Bible study for each stone, a little video that then can be part of many videos about that first stone and the second stone and the third stone. How about that? And you can be giving a Bible study that will, I believe, help many people. So this Bible study that we all worked on there now is set up. Let's now take advantage of it. Let's deepen it. What about for every stone, there's like a song? Like Psalm 139, oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. My kids know that from memory. We could sing the whole thing. And then Psalm 19. I don't know if you can put Mr. Darwin in there from last night somewhere, but maybe that's later on. All right. Well, let's pray together as we close. Father in heaven, thank you today for these rocks that talk, this book that reminds us of the practical ways that you've led us. And thank you also that we could work together on this awesome project. Potentially these stones will be here much longer than we will, and they will continue to witness. May we have your law, the very things you put on stone, written in our hearts. And may they be the experience of our lives, not because of our strength or our ability, but because of your strength and your ability. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.